This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, we are continuing with our tafsir of Surah Al-Fatiha. We began looking at the fourth verse of Surah Al-Fatiha last week. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. You alone we worship and you alone we ask for help. And we focused last week on what is the meaning of worship. And what constitutes worship, and what does it mean to worship Allah alone. This week, inshallah, we will be focusing on the second half of this verse, and that is, what does it mean that we seek help from Allah alone. And so the topic of today's tafsir will be on the concept of dua. What is dua? How do we make dua? What are the etiquettes of dua? And what are the times when dua is accepted? So inshallah, these are the things which we will be looking at today in details. As is mentioned in this verse, dua is part of our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we say, Iyaka nasta'in, you alone we seek help from, then we are saying that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is our only source of assistance at times of difficulty. That when things go wrong, we do not turn to anybody else. But the first person that we turn to is our Lord and Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has power over all things. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one in whose hands is our qadr, our taqdeer, our destiny. We know it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has the ability, and He's the only one who has the ability to change our future. And related to dua, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there is only one thing that can change qadr, that can change your destiny, and that is dua. So dua is a very, very important part of our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and making dua to anyone besides Allah will infringe upon this relationship and create problems. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, ud'uni astajib lakum, make dua to me, I will answer you. And is as sa'ala ibadi anni fa inni qarib. If my servants ask you about me, let them know that I am near. Ujibu da'watu da'i iza du'an. I answer the dua of those who make dua to me when they make dua. So it is clear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers du'as, and He wants us to make dua to Him directly. So what does dua mean? The word dua comes from the word da'a, which means to call, the same as the word da'wah. The word da'wah means to call someone towards Islam. The word du'a means to call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asking Him for something. So these are two different types of calls. One is where you are calling someone towards something, that's called da'wah. One is where you are calling to ask someone for something, and that is called du'a. The word dua is mentioned throughout the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَدْعُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَنْفَعُكَ وَلَا يَدُرُّكَ. Do not make dua to besides Allah that which will not harm you or benefit you. This is in Surah Yunus, verse 106. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُدْعُوا شُهَدَاءَكُمْ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. He tells the disbelievers to call your, or to make dua to your partners besides Allah and see if they can help you. That's in Surah Baqarah. There Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is challenging the disbelievers. And there are many, many other places where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses this word. So the word dua, what does it mean? The scholars have said the meaning of dua is that the servant asks his Lord for his help and asking his continued support. Its essence is that a person shows his neediness before Allah. So the essence of dua is to show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are in need of Him, and to free ourselves from any ability or power to change. So when you make dua not thinking that you are in control of your situation, but that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one in control of our situation. This characteristic of dua is the mark of a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is the feeling of Islam, of submission. So this is what dua is. And dua is part of our worship. It is specified in this verse of Surah Fatiha, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You alone we worship and you alone we ask for help. The scholars have said that asking for help is a type of worship. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is specifying the most important type of worship. That first Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we need to worship Him alone. And more specifically, we need to ask Him alone. We need to make dua to Him alone. Because this is a type of worship, but it is the most important type of worship as it determines our relationship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the proofs that dua is part of worship is the verse in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ أُدْعُونِ أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verily your Lord has said, make dua to me, I will answer you. And whoever is too arrogant to worship Allah will enter the hellfire humiliated. So in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to make dua to Him. And then He says, whoever is too arrogant to worship me. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse is calling dua worship. And says, whoever is too arrogant to make dua to Allah, so whoever thinks that they are in charge and they have control over their own lives and they don't need to make dua, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning them about the hellfire. Even more explicitly is the hadith reported by Nu'man ibn Bashir, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ad-du'a al-ibadah." Dua is ibadah. And then he quoted the exact same verse as we just mentioned. This hadith is found in four of the major books of hadith as well as in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad and is authentic. So dua is part of our worship and it plays a very, very important role in our worship. And I mentioned this when I spoke about salah. That salah is not just meant to be a ritual. Salah is meant to be a communication between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we pray the salah, we are supposed to be making dua to Allah. We are supposed to be begging Allah, crying to Allah. This is salah. It's not just a ritual of going up and down. If that is all we have gotten out of our salah, then it is time for us to change and to start going deeper into the salah and using it as a way of connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the basics of what is dua. And since dua is worship, that means making dua to anyone besides Allah would be shirk. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَدْعُوا رَبِّي وَلَا أُشْرِكُ بِهِ أَهَدًا. Say that I make dua only to Allah and I do not make shirk or partners with Him, along with Him. So yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to make dua only to Him and to do it to anybody else would be shirk. And this is in Surah Jinn. And there are many other verses like this in the Quran as well. So this is the essence of dua. And the very verse we are quoting makes it clear that dua should be only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You alone we seek help from. So this is the meaning of the word dua. Now what we want to look at in the rest of the program today is what are the times when duas are accepted as well as what are the etiquettes for making dua correctly. Because there are many ways one can make dua, but it's not necessarily that the dua will be accepted unless one does it in the correct manner. And sometimes there are opportunities where duas will definitely be accepted. But because we do not recognize them, we end up missing out on these opportunities. And one of those opportunities just passed us by a few days ago, the day of Arafah. The day of Arafah is the day where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends and asks people to make dua. Whatever you want, He will grant it to you. And I remember 2 years ago when I was in Arafah, and I noticed that many people were sleeping and talking, and some were even backbiting, and very few from the people who were in my camp were actually sitting and making dua. And subhanAllah, that's the time of your life, the one time in your life where your duas are guaranteed to be accepted. And so many people chose to sleep or to talk or to even commit sins during that time. So that really shows how many of us haven't really taken this to heart, the issue of certain times where our du'as are definitely accepted. So today, inshallah, I want to look at some of these opportunities where du'as are accepted so we can grasp it, take it, and utilize it. If you know a certain time of the day or night du'as are accepted, then make sure that you are making du'a at that time of the day or night. We are all in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's assistance. Nobody can say that their life is such that they do not need help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is something which no human being can reach. So with that, inshallah, we are going to take a break now. When we return, we will look at the etiquettes of dua. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today we are looking at dua. We are looking at the verse of Surah Fatiha, Iyaka nasta'in, you alone we seek help from. And we are looking at how do we seek help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is through dua. Unfortunately for many of us, dua has been reduced to a ritual. We raise our hands, some of us might be biting our nails, some of us might be looking at our fingertips, some of us might be looking at the watch, and we say Ameen a few times, we wipe our hands over our face and we go away. That's not dua. Dua is when you pour out your heart before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about all your problems. And you cry before Allah and you ask Him for help knowing He alone can help you. This is the reality of dua. Unfortunately for so many of us, these things have become ritualized. And that's why they don't have the impact on us that they should have. So how do we make dua? Let's first take a look at some of the preconditions for a dua to be accepted. What does one need to do to make sure that the dua is accepted? The first thing that we need is to realize and to know in the depths of our heart that only Allah can answer our duas. If we do not have this belief, then there is a chance that our dua will not be accepted. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might still accept your dua because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even responds to people's du'as when they make du'a to other than Him. We see this with the non-Muslims. People praying to their idols or praying to Jesus or to somebody else, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still answers their du'a. So it's not to say that the du'a won't be accepted. There's still a chance, but it won't be rewarded. There's no reward in a du'a which is not done sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first thing we need to do before making du'a is to clarify in our mind and to realize in our hearts that there is no one who can respond to our dua except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore we are calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Number two is that we need to be sincere. The dua needs to be sincere. It shouldn't just be a ritual dua where we raise our hands, mumble a few words, and then go home. That's not dua. There needs to be that sincerity. There needs to be the understanding of what you are saying. There needs to be that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you are talking to Allah and you are asking Him and begging Him for assistance. And this is something which is actually for all our deeds. Any deed that we do, we know the hadith. The first hadith at the very beginning of Sahih al-Bukhari and at the beginning of many other books of hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, "Innamal a'malu bin niyyah." Every action is judged by its intention. Every action is judged by its intention. It's the same with our dua. Why are we making dua? Is it just a ritual? Is it something that everybody else is doing? Is it something we just doing, you know, because we know it's something we have to do? Or are we doing it out of love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of hope for Allah, out of trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That's really what takes dua to another level. The third thing which we need to know about dua and that we need to have in our mind when making dua is we should not be hasty. We should not expect instant results. Making a dua does not necessarily mean that your dua will be accepted that very day or in the way that you wanted it to be accepted. This is not from our deen. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has told us, the dua of any worshipper will continue to be responded to as long as he does not ask for anything sinful or he does not ask to break up ties with anyone and as long as he is not hasty. And then the Sahaba asked him, what does it mean to be hasty? What does it mean to be hasty when making dua? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam replied that to be hasty is when a worshipper says that I have prayed to Allah, I have made dua to Allah, I have made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so many times, but I don't see it being accepted. So he gives up hope of it being answered and he stops making dua. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that what will stop a dua from being accepted is when a person gives up. When a person says that I've made dua so many times and I don't see the results, and then they stop making dua, that will be the cause of the dua not being accepted. Remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests us. We go back to the purpose of life that we spoke about last week. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put us on earth to test us. So in everything there is a test. Even in our dua being accepted, there is a test. We are tested first to see our patience, to see our reliance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to see if we will give up hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we are strong, if we are firm, if we are sincere, if we keep making dua, then we will see the fruits of that dua. Sometimes it could be after a few days. Sometimes it could be after a few months. And sometimes it could even be after a few years. But the du'as of the believers, if done sincerely, are always accepted in one way or another. Now, it being accepted does not mean that you will always get exactly what you asked for. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is best for us. And so when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers our du'as, it might be that what we are asking for is not what is best for us. So for example, if you are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you marry a specific guy or a specific girl, and that marriage is just not happening, it might just be that because that marriage was not good for you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has something better planned for you. So we need to keep that in mind when we are making dua as well. And we find that the scholars have spoken about this. One of the scholars, Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, rahimullah, has mentioned that of the diseases which afflict dua and prevent its response is that the person becomes hasty in expecting a response from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala delays the response, so a person gives up hope and leaves dua. This is like a person. Look at the example he gives. This is like a person who plants a seed, then guards it and waters it, and when it does not give fruit, he leaves it and does not take care of it anymore. So, Ibn al-Qayyim is giving us a metaphor that just like if someone had to plant a seed and water it and wait for it to grow, and after many years it grows into a big, beautiful tree. Let's say it's an apple tree. And 1 year it doesn't bear fruit. Does that mean you're going to stop watering the tree and trying to bear fruit every other year? Are you just going to give up and leave it? No, you're going to keep trying, saying, okay, maybe this year we didn't have good crop, maybe next year, inshallah. It's the same with dua. Maybe your dua was not responded to this time because it is not time yet for it to be answered. Maybe it'll be answered in the future. So you don't give up with the dua. So this is a very, very important point. So what we have mentioned thus far is, number one, to make dua knowing in your heart that no one can answer your duas except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's number one. Number two is to be sincere in our dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And number three is not to be hasty. Don't expect instant results. Dua will be answered when the time is right. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala feels that you are ready to have what you have asked for, then you will get it, inshallah. Number four is that when we make dua, we need to make sure that we are making dua for things which are good. You cannot make dua, you cannot ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something which is evil, for something which is against Islam, for something which is sinful. So you can't make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps you to commit a sin, or that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps you break up ties with a family member, or any other thing, because that is something which Allah hates, and Allah will not answer such a dua. The dua itself would be a sin. Such a dua, bad dua, in of itself is a sin. So duas need to be for good things. We need to ask Allah for that which is good, for that which is pure. Good things don't necessarily mean ibadat. They don't necessarily mean acts of worship. Good things could even be halal things of this world. Maybe you want a new car. Maybe you want to get married. Maybe you want some wealth so that you can spend it in the path of Allah. There is nothing wrong with asking Allah for these things, because these are the good things of this world which Allah has created for us to use and to benefit from. Number five is that when making dua, we need to have an attentive heart. We need to have an attentive heart. And this is where many of us go off. We make dua with our mouths, but our hearts are in our businesses, our hearts are at home, our hearts are on the television, our hearts are thinking about what's going on in the TV program tomorrow, what movie I'm going to watch tomorrow. This is reality. This is reality that happens to many of us, that our mouths are making dua, but our hearts are not there. If we want our duas to be accepted, we have to put our entire heart into it. We need to be thinking completely about it. We need to pour our heart into that dua. And one of the signs that your heart is in your dua is that it moves you to tears. You cry because you know only Allah can grant you what you want. And you know that you are nothing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who can answer all your duas. And you know that it is only Allah and only Allah that can help you. And so you begin to cry. So dua must be made with a mindful heart, that we know exactly what we are asking for. And we remember who we are speaking to and who we are asking from, that we are asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is not correct for us to talk to Allah while being neglectful, to talk to Allah while thinking about something else. That's disrespect. That is disrespect. The same goes for praying our salah. To praying our salah and our mind being somewhere else is disrespectful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our mind has to be there. Our hearts have to be there. We have to pour ourselves entirely into the dua. As Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has mentioned, know that the purpose of dua is that one have an attentive heart towards Allah. As we have already mentioned, and the proofs of this are more than can be mentioned. The knowledge of it is so apparent that it does not even need to be discussed. So Imam Nawawi said that there's so much evidence that we have to put our hearts into dua that it's not even something that should be discussed. It's not even something that we need to mention. It's something that should be obvious. It's actually something, according to Imam Nawawi, that should be obvious, that when you are making dua, you need to put your entire heart into it. The next point to remember when making dua, if you want our duas to be accepted, is to have a good intention. Now, this is separate from sincerity. Sincerity is where you're making your dua solely for the sake of Allah. Good intention here is, why do you want that thing? So, for example, you might be making dua to have a new car. One person wants the new car so that they can attend Islamic lectures and they can help people and they can go to work or they can take their family out. Somebody else wants a new car so that he can go to sinful places and indulge in sins. So the intention has to be correct. You might be asking for something halal, but you might be asking for it for a haram reason. That's something which sometimes we don't think about. Why do I want this? Why do I want more money? Am I going to spend it on Islamic work? Am I going to spend it on halal? Or am I going to spend it on haram? Because if we are making dua for halal wealth, but in our hearts, we have this desire to use that wealth for haram, then we should not expect our dua to be accepted. We should not expect it to be accepted in that situation because our very intentions are incorrect. So we need to keep this in mind when making dua, that why do I want this? Why am I making dua for more money? Why am I making dua for a better car? Why? Is it for halal reason or haram reason? Because Allah won't just look at what you want, but why you want it. And accordingly, He will answer your dua or He will not answer your dua. So that is the importance of having a good intention. The next point to keep in mind when making dua, and this is crucial for a dua to be accepted, and that is that your wealth and your food are halal. Both your wealth and your food is halal. Now, alhamdulillah, most of us are very, very strict on only buying halal food, alhamdulillah. Sadly, many of us are not as strict as having halal wealth. And so we find people earning haram wealth and then being insistent on using the haram wealth to buy halal food. The food is still haram because the wealth, the money that you bought it with is haram. So that makes the food haram because you bought it with haram money. So just as we as a ummah are strict on our food being halal, we need to be just as strict that our wealth is halal, the wealth that we use for consuming that food. So, inshallah, we are going to take a break now, and when we return, we'll continue discussing the etiquettes of dua.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
We are looking at Iyaka nasta'in, you alone we ask for help, and we are focusing on the details of how to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. And so, we are speaking about how to make dua. What are the preconditions before dua? We said that before making dua, number one, we need to have in our mind that it is only Allah. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that can answer our du'as. Number two, we need to be sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when making the du'a. Number three, we should not be hasty. We should not expect instant results. We should not expect a response the same day or same time. Number four, we should make dua only for that which is good. We should never make dua for things which are bad. For bad things to happen to us or others, our duas should be good. Number five, we should make dua with good intentions. Sometimes we make dua for halal things, but we want to use it for haram purposes. So our intentions need to be correct. Number seven is that our hearts need to be in the dua. Sorry, that will be number six, that our hearts must be in our dua. We need to put our heart in our dua and we need to pray with full concentration. And the final point, which we spoke about before it was time for the break, is that we need to have halal wealth and halal food if we want our du'as to be accepted. And this is very, very clearly stated in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he said, O people, Allah is at-tayyib, the most pure. Allah is most pure. And He only accepts that which is pure. He only accepts that which is pure, meaning both our acts of worship and our du'a. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded the believers what He has commanded for the messengers before. And He said, O messengers, eat from the pure foods and do good deeds. And He said, O you who believe, eat from that which is pure and that which is good which we have given you. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned a traveler on a long journey with disheveled hair, and he was very dirty. And he stretched out his hands to the sky and he said, O my Lord, O my Lord. And he began to make dua for help. But his food was haram. His drink was haram. His clothing was haram. And his wealth was haram. So how can Allah answer his dua? This hadith is found in the 40 hadith of Imam An-Nawawi. And it has been discussed in details in all of the commentaries on Imam An-Nawawi's 40 hadith. Very powerful hadith, because if you look at this, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us about a man who is, number one, a traveler, and we know the du'as of travelers are accepted. Number two, he is disheveled and dirty and lost, and he's in a state of difficulty. And we know that people who are in a state of difficulty, the du'as are accepted. Number three, he raises his hands to the sky and he sincerely says, Oh my Lord, Oh my Lord. Again, that's something which makes one's du'as accepted. So this man has all the conditions for du'as to be accepted. He's a traveler. He's lost. He's in the time of difficulty. He's raising his hand and asking Allah alone. But his du'a is not accepted, despite all of that. Why? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us the reason why his du'a is not accepted is because his food is haram and his wealth is haram. Allah cannot accept the du'a of someone who is nourished with haram. Very, very important for us to think about. Is our wealth haram? Are we making money by selling things which are haram? Are we indulging in riba, interest, which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said is worse than zina with one's own mother? Are we gambling? Are we doing any of these things which cause haram wealth to enter into our lives? Because if we are nourishing our family with haram wealth, then even if the meat we buy with that wealth is halal, it still becomes haram, because it is purchased with haram wealth. So this is a very, very important point which I am harping upon, because it is something which sadly many people just don't take too seriously. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us about this as being one of the signs of the Day of Judgment, that there will come a time when a Muslim will not care where his wealth came from, whether it is halal or haram. Sadly, I feel we are seeing the times today where wealth has become more important than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for many of us. So those are the preconditions for the acceptance of dua. Now, when we actually sit down to make dua, there are a few etiquettes to observe which will assist in our dua being accepted. The first is to begin the dua with, number one, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and number two, sending peace and blessings upon His beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we begin our dua, for example, with Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, or something similar to that. A dua must begin with these two things, because this is the etiquette of dua. This is how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba would make dua. And this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself has mentioned in the Quran about dua, that, O you who believe, send your peace and blessings upon the messenger. So when you make your dua, you need to begin with these two things. Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, or any other similar words which convey praise to Allah and peace and blessings upon the messenger. Any wording which conveys that should be used to open up the dua out of respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the first thing you're actually doing when making dua is making dua for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because that's what you are saying. When you're saying salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, you are making dua for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and saying may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. So you're putting Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam before yourself, and you're making dua for him before making dua for yourself. The next point to note when making dua is that it is very important to raise your hands when making dua. It is permissible to make dua with your hands down or your hands by your side or any other way. But the etiquette of making dua for our dua to be accepted is that we raise your hands. You raise your hands to the sky and you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This will, inshallah, assist the dua in being accepted. And this is from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which has been narrated. Anas radiallahu anhu says that when he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam making dua, his hands would be raised until you could see his armpits. Right? This hadith, there's a difference of opinion on its authenticity, but this has been narrated by other sahaba as well, so that would raise it, inshallah, to being authentic. In fact, the scholars have said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raising his hands in dua had been narrated in so many hadiths that you can't even count them. There are so many hadiths pointing out that when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the sahaba would make dua, they would raise their hands. So there are so many hadiths on this topic, you can't even count them. So this is definitely from the etiquette of dua, that you raise your hands. You sit there with your hands cupped and you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third etiquette of dua, after beginning with peace and blessings upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and upon and then raising your hands, is to face the Qibla. To face the Qibla. That one faces the Qibla when making dua instead of facing any other direction. Again, it is permissible to make dua facing any direction in the world. If you are lying in bed and looking up at the sky and making dua, that's not a problem. Whichever direction you face is not a problem. But for etiquette, for bigger chance of your dua being accepted, for more reward in your dua, it is best to face the Qibla. Likewise, it is better to perform wudu. And again, wudu is not a condition for dua. Wudu is not a condition for dua. But it does increase the chance of dua being accepted. Remember, what we spoke about first are the things that have to be there for dua to be accepted. Sincerity, intention, making dua for good things, etc. What we are talking about now are things which don't have to be there, which are not compulsory, but they are additional. They are out of respect, out of adab, out of etiquette. And they increase the chance of your dua being accepted. Another thing which increases the chance of a dua being accepted is that one cries in the dua. And we know this is the habit of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How many hadiths do we know of him crying and making dua before the Battle of Badr and at night in his tahajjud salah? So many occasions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam crying and saying, my ummah, and so many other duas. This is definitely from the sunnah. This is definitely from the sunnah. It is also part of the etiquette of dua, and I would say this is actually something which is high in etiquette, is something which we should do, to expect the best from Allah. We shouldn't just make dua and hope Allah gives me something, but we should expect the best from Allah. We should have the best of thoughts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the greatest and he will give me what is best for me. And that's why it is actually, according to a hadith, it is not permissible to make dua using the words insha'Allah. This is mentioned in one of the hadiths. That one should not end the dua with the words insha'Allah. That, oh Allah, give me a new car if you want, if you will. Give me a new car insha'Allah, if you want, if you will. That's not from the etiquette of dua. Because you are not begging Allah, you are not crying to Allah, you are not expecting the best from Allah. You're just leaving it as, if you want to do it, do it. So, inshallah is something which is from Islam to say when we say inshallah when we intend to do something in the future. Like, I plan to buy a new car, inshallah. But not when making dua. Inshallah is not a part of a dua except for a few certain duas related by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But in general, it is not part of the dua. For our dua to be accepted, we also need to be humble before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that goes without saying. As we had mentioned the verse, whoever is too arrogant to worship Allah will enter the hellfire. Right? It's also for our dua to be accepted, we need to complain only to Allah. So if we are complaining to everybody about our problems, then we aren't really putting our trust only in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are dividing it amongst the people. So if we want our dua to be accepted, we need to put our trust entirely in Allah. And one of the ways of doing this is not to complain to anybody else. You have anything to complain about, you do what Yaqub alayhi salam did, and that is, I turn my complaints only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I only ask of Allah. I only tell Allah, oh Allah, this is the problem in my life, you help me with it. Nobody else. And another one, and a very, very important one, which many of us are unaware of, is it is from the etiquettes of dua to make dua quietly. Quietly, only Allah knows what you're making dua for. Only Allah knows that you are making the dua, and possibly secretly. How do we know this? This is found in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Udu'u rabbakum tadarru'u wa khufya. Innahu la yuhibbul mu'tadin. Very powerful verse. This is in Surah Al-A'raf, verse 55. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, make dua to your Lord, tadarru, with humility, wa khufya, and in secret. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, make dua to your Lord in secret. Meaning people don't need to know you're making dua. People don't need to know what dua you are making. This should be a private thing between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah goes on to state, innahu la yuhibbul mu'tadin. Allah does not like those who go beyond the limits, who go to extremes. Meaning you go out and you start shouting and screaming and making dua and you make a show of it. Allah does not like that. Dua should be private and secret, something between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and other people don't need to know about it. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised the dua of Prophet Zakaria alayhi salam at the beginning of Surah Maryam when he said, Iznada rabbahu nida'an khafiyya. When he made dua to his Lord, khafiyya, secretly, quietly, in private. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is praising this quality of the dua of Zakaria alayhi salam. So with that, inshallah, we'll take one more break, and when we return, we will conclude with the etiquettes of dua, and we will mention the times when duas are accepted. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We are looking at Iyaka nasta'in, you alone we ask of help, the second half of verse 4 of Surah Fatiha. And I know we spent 2 weeks, 2 episodes looking at this verse, but I actually think we need to go one more week on this verse, because subhanAllah, we have so much more to cover on the etiquettes of dua that I don't think we can complete it in this 10 minutes. So I'm going to, inshallah, extend this to one more episode. And today I'm just going to conclude on the etiquettes of dua. And next week we will continue on the topic of dua. And I want to mention all those times of the day and all of those conditions in which dua are accepted, as well as those things which stop dua from being accepted. Because I think this is a crucial topic to the lives of every single Muslim. It takes Surah Fatiha to another level, and it takes our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to another level. Dua is something that every one of us should be doing every day. So I don't want to rush through this topic, and I don't think 1 hour is just an enough time to cover this topic, inshallah. So I'm going to extend this, and we are going to continue discussing the same verse next week, inshallah. So with that, let's get back to the etiquettes of dua. And we said that we are talking about the importance of praying quietly. Why quietly? Why not loudly? Well, we're talking about calling on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now just think about it in terms of human terms. When you are making dua to someone, and when you are making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you are calling on Him, you are a servant before your Lord. It is not befitting for a servant to call upon his Lord in a way where he's screaming at him or where he's talking loudly. That's not befitting the behavior of a servant. A servant should be quiet, he should be humble, he should be soft-spoken. So that's the relationship we should have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why du'as are more likely to be accepted when you make it softly and quietly, etc. Du'as are also more likely to be accepted when we acknowledge our sins. So Abu Huraira has narrated to have said, The best dua is for a person to say, O Allah, you are my Lord and I am your servant. I have wronged myself and accept and I acknowledge my sins. O Allah, forgive me my sins, for you and only you are my Lord, and none can forgive my sins except you. So, acknowledging your sins, saying, O Allah, I am weak, I have committed this sin, I know I have committed this sins, I am sorry. This humility will help our du'as to be accepted. Few more points to look at, inshallah. There is a question that can I mention the times when the du'as are accepted. I actually want to do an entire program on that next week because I have a list of 30 or 40 different times when du'as are accepted. So it's literally going to take us a full hour to go through that list, inshallah. But I'll just give you the main ones right now. Tahajjud. Wake up for tahajjud. Tahajjud time, it is narrated that Allah descends and He asks the people who are awake, what do you want? I will answer it. Tahajjud time, du'as are accepted. In sajda, du'as are accepted. And there are many other times as well, after the azan, while waiting for the salah to begin in the masjid. These are times when du'as are generally accepted. We mentioned the day of Arafah last week. On the day of Arafah, du'as are accepted. But as I said, there are about 30 or 40 different occasions. So I want to do a full program about that next week. Next week, inshallah, we will go into the details. And I will mention all of the times when du'as are usually accepted. And the conditions in which du'as are usually accepted. For example, when traveling. When someone is traveling, there is a bigger chance of the du'as being accepted. And I also mention the things which prevent du'as from being accepted, inshallah. So to the caller who had the question, inshallah, I hope that you'll tune in next week for a detailed discussion on that topic. And we'll try to take advantage of all the times when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised to answer our du'as. So a few more points on the etiquettes of du'a. Very, very important for us to use the names of Allah when making du'a. When making du'a for Allah's mercy, address Him as Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. When making du'a for rizq, for sustenance, ask Allah by His name Ar-Razzaq. When you are asking Allah for forgiveness, ask Him by His name Al-Ghafur. Use the names of Allah in your du'a. Because this is something which is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something which increases the chance of your du'as being accepted. This is a form of tawassul. To seek assistance in Allah using the names of Allah. Drawing from the names of Allah. And this is a very, very important aspect of du'a. Another important aspect of du'a is to keep the du'as concise. Concise meaning that you don't have to go into long details. You don't have to say, oh Allah, I want 1 million rand. Just say, oh Allah, bless me with a lot of money. You know, you don't have to say, oh Allah, I want a wife who looks like this and looks like that and give all the details. Just say, oh Allah, grant me a good spouse who will be the coolness of my eyes. Keep it concise. Because when it comes to details, Allah knows what's best for us. We don't. We may want a spouse who has certain characteristics and that might not be good for us. We may want a specific amount of money, but what if Allah wanted to give us more than that? What if you are making dua for 1 million rand and Allah intends to give you 10 million? So you are restricting what He's going to give you. So keep the duas concise. Keep them general in their wording. Say, oh Allah, grant me the best of both worlds. That means the best of this world in terms of wealth, etc. And the best of the akhirah, which is Jannah. Very concise dua. And you'll notice that the du'as mentioned in the Quran are all like this. They are all concise, they are all to the point, and they are all general in their wording. For example, the Quran teaches us to say, Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana, wa fil akhirati hasana, wa qina azab an-nar. O Allah, grant us the best of this world. What is that? That is Iman, Islam, a good spouse, a good family, wealth, all of that is included. Everything good in this world is included in those few short words. And grant us the best of the afterlife. What's that? That's Jannah. That's paradise. And save us from the hellfire. So in that three lines, you have made dua for everything. Literally everything that you could be sitting and making dua for half an hour, it's all summarized in those three lines. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us here that keep your du'as concise and generally worded so that it encompasses more. And it helps your du'as to be accepted, inshallah, as well. It's also from the etiquettes of du'a to make du'a for all of the Muslims in the world. But to start with yourself. Don't forget to make du'a for yourself. Start off making the du'as for yourself. Oh Allah, you grant me this and save me from that and forgive my sins. After making dua for yourself, you must make dua for others. This is part of Iman, to love for your brothers what you love for yourself. So make dua that Allah helps the Muslims in Palestine and in Syria and in all the other parts of the world where they are facing trials. those who are facing poverty in some of the African countries, those who are facing the hurricanes in the USA, whatever it is, make dua for others. And from the beauty of our deen, is that if you make a dua for others, the angels make that same dua for you. So let's not mess with our duas, inshallah. It's also from the etiquettes of dua to say Ameen, which means may the dua be accepted. We know that we say this after Surah Al-Fatiha, which is a dua. And it's also from the etiquettes of dua to make dua in both times of ease and difficulty. And this is where a lot of us fail. A lot of us make dua during difficult times. But the real test is to make dua during times of ease. Why? Because the times of ease are the real tests. In the times of difficulty, everybody's pious. Everybody's making dua. Everybody's close to Allah. But when things are easy, when we're getting our ways, that's when sincerity is tested. That's when the sincere will raise their hands and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Allah, protect me from the fitna of wealth. O Allah, protect me from the fitna of success. O Allah, protect me from becoming arrogant. These are the signs of someone who is sincere to make dua during the times of ease. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us all and to keep our dua sincere for Him and to help us to make dua a part of our lives. Surah Al-Fatiha is a dua. I mentioned that and we spoke about it in details. And I'm going to speak about that a bit more next week when I mention the times when duas are accepted. Because as we had mentioned in the hadith, Surah Al-Fatiha is one of those duas which are accepted when we have all these conditions. So I know that I'm going into a lot of details on this verse, Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. We're actually going to go 3 hours altogether discussing this two short lines. One short line, actually. But that's the power of the Quran. Really, even with 3 hours, we haven't done justice to this verse. The entire message of Islam, of the purpose of life, of worshipping Allah alone and asking Him alone, is summed up in this line. And that is what we are discussing. So inshallah, what we're going to look at next week on the same topic, the recommended times for dua, the recommended conditions for dua to be accepted, and times when duas are accepted, and the things which stop dua from being accepted. 3 very important topics. Inshallah, we will discuss that in details next week. I look forward to seeing you all then. Jazakallah khairan wa akhiru da'wana. Anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.